Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is your headstone. I appreciate that this is the way life goes. I won and you lost, but you were worthy and valiant, and here are the Frisbees. Now, that is my read on it. Other people might have a different read, but that dog did not have three Frisbees in her mouth when she went after that rabbit. She collected those Frisbees and put them down by the rabbit.
Now, is there any chance that Chessie was saying, maybe that dummy that throws the Frisbees will get this rabbit out of my yard if I leave them right here?
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Hi, I need to explain to you the format of the show today. The format is chaos. All right, we have been moved from our normal Rabbit Warren studio that is insufficient. We have been moved to a studio so small that Michael is standing. Because there's not enough seats. Hello, Michael. Yes, Michael is standing.
Tori and my knees
and
are touching.
Tori and Gary are sharing a microphone as if we were the Beatles and we were recording a song.
In session.
Okay, this is the last time we will be in this studio and probably the last time we will be in WMAL, as we intend to move to Tori's pool house as soon as possible, because this is failure. Apparently what has happened is the studio that we were moved into previously a couple of weeks ago, that leaves me dissatisfied, but that's just my problem. That had some sort, we have an engineer here who could explain this, that has some sort of overnight thing that happened.
He has quickly left the room.
Yeah. Some sort of overnight thing happened to the computers that caused that studio, and that was 2 days ago. It was fine yesterday, but that caused that studio to be inoperable today. So we were moved. We are actually starting the show 30 minutes late. It'll be approximately the same length as any show that we do. Because it is now 10 after 8 Eastern Time, and we usually start at 20 minutes to 8 Eastern Time. The show will be approximately as long as most shows that we do, with this exception. This is a day we were supposed to have Jeff Ma, and we were supposed to have Chuck Todd. We are incapable of reaching out and calling them, so the show will be internal. The show will be Michael Kornheiser, Nigel, who doesn't have to really do anything or say anything, Tori Clark, and Gary
Braun. Tori has volunteered to call Jeff and Chuck on her cell phone and then relay the pics. I think that could be really riveting listening.
Yeah, that would be so fantastic. So anyway,
how does that studio you don't like look now, by the way?
Yeah, it looks a lot better. So let us start with the thing that we would start with under any conditions, big studio, small studio, no studio, and that is the Washington Nationals being now 2-0, winning two games on the road, which is exactly what they did in St. Louis. Everything has changed. The entire arc of the series has changed. I've said many times that I think the Houston Astros are a better team, and I do. I do. But they're not a better team right now. Over the course of 162, they were. Over the course of the last two, they're not. The Washington Nationals beat Gerrit Cole, who nobody had beaten since late May, and then they beat Justin Verlander last night. And these guys are going to finish 1-2 in the Cy Young in the American League, in whatever order it happens. They're the best two pitchers in the American League. One of them is going to the Hall of Fame. The other one is too young to make that judgment on yet. But Cole and Verlander are the best two pitchers. Rendon starts it. He gets a double. Well, Turner gets on. Eaton gets on. Adam Eaton is at the center of everything in the playoffs. Adam Eaton is a professional baseball player.
When he's not trying to bunt.
They get on. Is your mic on so we can hear you, right? Everybody's mic is on.
Presumably.
I don't know why I need a headset then.
Wouldn't it be great if all the mics were just off?
Are they on? It's being recorded? Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nigel sees levels. He's happy.
So Anthony Rendon, who had done nothing in the two World Series games to that point, it's only a game and a quarter or a game and an eighth, he gets a double off the wall, and it's 2-0 in a heartbeat. Now, Steven Strasburg, and then Verlander will then settle down for the duration of his time through six innings. Not seven, but the duration of his time in six innings. Steven Strasburg then does what Max Scherzer did the night before, basically. He gives up a two-run bomb to Bregman. I panic, of course, because it's 2-2. Strasburg gets out of that inning. I am now on pins and needles. I leave my downstairs, and I should tell you this. I leave my downstairs to watch upstairs. I never bring my phone with me. When I awakened this morning, there were 77 texts.
Yeah. Oshie.
77 texts. I go upstairs. I continue to watch upstairs. I cannot begin to tell you the similarity. I'm sure you know this for yourselves. The similarity between the pitching performance of Max Scherzer and the pitching performance of Steven Strasburg, because after giving up runs in the first, they struggle through six. It's hard. They're gritty. They're good. But you never get the sense that they're dominant. You never get the sense that they can do anything they want. They had the same amount of pitches, basically.
Yeah.
Strasburg had 114 through six. Scherzer had 112 through five. When the sixth inning was over, when Strasburg got out of the sixth, he was not going back out. I mean, they were hugging. Everybody's hugging. So that means they're not going back out at that point.
The one pushback I would have is Strasburg got better in the third, fourth, fifth innings. He got into struggles in that sixth and almost looked like he couldn't get out of it because of these long at-bats where the Astros were just fouling, and really fouling off very good out pitches. And
they don't strike out.
Yeah,
you know,
you said that neither guy was dominant, Strasburg or Max, but what's evident to me after watching him now in the last week and a half, more than I'd seen them in the entire season, the Astros will not be dominated. I mean, they're professional hitters.
They're really good.
They're going to make you work. They're not going to give away strikes. And
they don't strike out.
Yeah.
You know, in any case, the similarities of the starts are obvious. The difference in the game, well, we'll get to that later on. Kurt Suzuki hit a home run off Verlander in the top of the seventh inning. Verlander was given one more batter who he walked, Victor Robles. Am I correct on that?
I believe that's
and
correct.
Then he was yanked, and then it fell apart. The fielding fell apart. Bregman was lucky to not be called on an error on one play and then made a bad throw on another play. They were being hit by, you know, the death by a thousand cuts at that point. Because it's not like it was no home run. After Suzuki, it's not like people were banging it off the wall or anything like that in that inning, right? So Zimmerman is part of it, and a lot of people are part of this. And all of a sudden, what is it, 8-2 or 10-2? It's 8-2. And it's 8-2 late. It's 8-2 late. And when Fernando Rodney comes in, you understand that you think that it is impossible to blow the game.
As a true Washington fan, though, I was still scared.
Yeah, and which
very
you should
scared.
Be.
Yes.
Because if you have Rodney coming in, and you have Rainey coming in, and you have somebody who you haven't seen in years, Guerra? They cut him from the team, mercifully, in September at one point, and suddenly re-signed him.
We were saying this before the show when we had a long delay. The ninth inning began to look like senior night. Everyone was getting the ball.
Yeah.
Good point.
Ultimately, it ends 12-3. And now, even the most conservative of us can say, we're going to win the World Series. It's not an automatic. It's not a given. But boy, oh boy, it looks like the Cardinals series. I don't know what the statistics are. I think it's something like 17-0. The last 17 World Series teams that went up 2-0, I think, have won the World Series.
22-3 is what I saw since the new format.
Well, that figured in because it was 22-3. If you remember, after the Nats took a 2-0 lead on the road in St. Louis and came back, the statistic for those teams losing that series was 3-22. Okay. Now, since the Nats won, it's 3-23. So the odds get longer on Houston coming back to win. You beat Cole and you beat Verlander. Verlander now 0-5 in World Series.
There's a great shot that Fox got. As soon as they take Verlander out of the game, they zoom in on him in the dugout, and he's gripping and re-gripping a baseball. And you just wonder, is he just still
he hates the baseball
about that one pitch?
Yes. Oh, to Suzuki.
Yeah.
He hates the baseball.
A guy who had maybe one hit in the postseason.
And again, he's going to the Hall of Fame. Yeah. Justin Verlander
if he doesn't kill himself first.
Well, he's going home to Kate Upton, so he's not killing himself. And he's smart. And he's terrific. He's a great interview.
To Michael's point, to that shot on his face, he looked just like a crushed person.
And he is the first and only pitcher to lose his first five World Series decisions.
Yeah.
Hence the Jim Kelly.
Yeah, no, I 0-4 in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
As was Fran Tarkenton in championship games, not just the Super Bowls. Now, my only question going forward, and I'm very happy, and my great thanks to Steve Rose, right, Michael? For giving us his tickets for tomorrow night, Michael
I'm
and I.
I'm terrified. I don't want to go.
Okay.
How many postseason wins do they have in a row now? See if you can do
it. It's a lot.
Okay, eight. Do you know the last time they lost? when I was there.
When you went?
Yeah.
I went to a game that they won. If you want to talk about sort of remarkable curios, I've worn that Nats jacket now for six games at the end of PTI. They've won all six of those games.
I think they are now 9-0 in the Navy jerseys, which Navy is interesting.
Well, wear them.
Because
wear
Houston also has a dark jersey, which I think they are 7 or 8-1 in the playoffs in.
And they could have pushed them out.
As to whether or not they were going to bring them out and force the Nats to win.
So in reading the coverage in the Post today, and I'm sure there's a bunch of writers on the Post will get their own floats if we, you know, if we win and get to have a parade. But I will say, and this is something to talk about, I am surprised that Davey Johnson announced that Anibal Sanchez is going to pitch game three. I am surprised at this. Patrick Corbin pitched one inning the other day, and he's ready to go in game three. He is 10-2 in Washington, D.C. games this year. I would start him. I'm guessing that they don't want to start him. They want to bring him in relief if they need him and go for the 3-0 thing.
Do you remember Sanchez's last start?
Was a great start. It was a no-hitter.
I'm more surprised that Davey announced that during the game by Buck, so you didn't even know you were going to go up 2-0, because you do think if you're up 2-0, if you can squeeze that third, and you would love to have Corbin on the mound bringing out all the big arms to maybe come in for an inning or two late, but so I was just surprised it was in the plans early.
So this is what I'm getting at, is that has shifted so that now Patrick Corbin is going to come out of the bullpen if they need him. But I don't know what that does for game four. They're going to put – who else do they have on the pitching roster who is a starter other than Sanchez and Corbin? I haven't looked at the roster. I don't know that they have anyone. Now, the Houston Astros have nobody either. But if they're down 3-0, they'll throw Gerrit Cole. I assume in game four they're going to have to do that. They have Greinke in game three, who has not had a good playoff. He has not.
6+.
Yeah, so I never thought they were invincible, but I sure thought they were better. What do you think now?
Well, the thing, here's what I think. Sands has been, by the way, trumpeting the comparisons to last year's Caps, or 2 years ago's Caps,
yeah,
forever.
Yeah, that's fine.
And I was thinking last night, especially at the end of that sixth inning.
I'll catch up on Sands later.
Okay.
Because I'm sure of the 77 texts I missed, 70 of them are Sandsy.
They were Tiger updates.
Oh, Tiger updates.
You mentioned how the Strasburg start mirrored in many ways
yes,
the Max
the Scherzer
start. And the end was the same, too. Just as Max had to gut check, as Joe Gibbs used to call it, just as Max had that huge
inning.
Gut check in the fifth inning to pitch out of it.
Strasburg
was
sixth.
In a mess, got screwed on a couple of calls, in my opinion, which should have been strike threes called, and pitched himself out of it. And I thought, just like you buried the choking dogs moniker when they won, not that the Nats have won anything yet.
Get rid of the Orchid whole thing.
But the Orchid thing is over.
But you've seen that through the last half
right.
of this.
But looking at the way he responded, particularly the way he was taking on the umps and the batters,
yeah.
And he was able to reset to get that strikeout.
On the spectrum of Orchid to Max Scherzer, Warrior God, he is way more on that Warrior God spectrum. I mean, I saw Max channeled through him last night.
I read about this all the time, the influence of Gerardo Parra.
Yeah.
And I've got to believe that's true.
As a sidebar, if you're not familiar with this team, just Google the story of Gerardo Parra and Sanchez and Rodney with the glasses. The origin stories where they're walking to the ballpark in Detroit.
Getting
and they
free
see
water.
They see the bubble stand handing out sunglasses, and they just go, hey, you want to wait in line for some free sunglasses? And they do.
Yeah.
They can
and
work.
A chin, and that... Yeah. that the influence of him, the social influence of Gerardo Parra seems far greater than the baseball influence of Gerardo Parra. Though when they first got him, he hit some bombs and helped them win games.
But now it's all about the culture in the locker room. You know that horrible expression? I think Peter Drucker gets credit for it. Culture eats strategy for breakfast.
Oh, I don't know that, but you think it's horrible?
I sort of like it.
Okay,
it's just been overdone.
Oh,
but anyhow,
right.
to your point,
the first time I ever heard it.
I think everybody would say and would have said coming into this, the Astros are a far better team, start to finish, right?
Not prohibitive favorites, but a better team. They won 107 games.
Right, but there's a culture in the Nats locker room that allows them to just gut it out. They aren't as talented, but they gut it out. And to Gary's point, one of my favorite things last night was watching Scherzer watching Strasburg. Scherzer pitched every pitch with him.
Scherzer is the mother hen of everyone.
He pitched every pitch with him.
Yes.
And you could see him, Michael, you're talking about this before the show, getting nervous like a cat near the end of Strasburg's. That's just the most valuable thing when they all know the other guy has their back.
Max Scherzer is unique among pitchers. Most pitchers, when they're done,
gone.
Leave, they go to the bullpen. That, you know, they don't want to. Scherzer's a teammate. It's very odd.
And Strasburg stayed in the dugout. Even when he came out, he stayed there. And the hug, the sandwich hug, loved that.
You get that hug.
It's my favorite part.
The seventh inning is what we're all going to remember.
Excuse me for coughing, but there's no air in this studio as well. No.
We're all going to remember that seventh inning, but I think it does bear mentioning. There were some great defensive plays. You saw Turner rebound after having...
He made an error.
He had an error, but he had a couple of great stops at short. And Rendon had a couple of inning-saving plays at third.
Oh, yeah.
That really...
They're an awfully good team now without a headline star. I don't want to keep going back to Bryce Harper, and this is not a knock on Bryce Harper by any means, because I love Bryce Harper. But Bryce Harper was a star who embraced being a star. They don't have anyone like that. Even as good as Rendon's statistics are this year, you would never, if you're in that... Yes, Tori, you have your hand up.
Finish, then I'll ask my question.
No, I'm just saying that you would not think of Rendon as someone who says... Put the light on me. Now, Scherzer says that, but he's a pitcher.
Yeah.
So he's only out there once every fifth game. It's different.
But this is kind of a Bryce Harper question. And that it's so many of these guys on the Nats, they just want to advance the ball, right? They get up there going, I just got to keep this going, keep this going.
Yeah.
They're not trying to be stars.
To quote
they
FP,
hit home.
Keep the line moving. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They're not, yeah. I mean, they did hit some home runs, but they don't get up there every time saying.
No, you don't think of them as a home run hitting team.
Right.
You don't. They're not
but they
the Yankees.
They get the job done.
They're not the Dodgers, you know, but it. They've been great.
But you look with the new way baseball is played by leveraging these young players, you spend money in the places where it has impact, which is you choose one or two position players and you load up on starting pitching. And everything, you come back to that, the playoff, let you know, we play loud commercial.
Yeah.
And you look at the outfield celebrating together, which they do every game. This is the sum of that outfield is pennies on the dollars to what you would have had with some other big name stars.
And to your point, Tony, about the Tori's point about the just sort of moving the line, I chuck a lot of that up to the veterans. I mean, Kendrick, Zimmerman, Suzuki hadn't hit anything.
They
has
are
been
the
incredible
oldest team
defensively.
In baseball.
All 2-for-5 last
oldest
night.
Oldest team, even with
hits.
Soto and Robles and people like that. They're the oldest
And those
team.
Guys, they understand what they need to do. I mean, the moment is not too big for them. And there were times that last night where, to me, and I realize the Astros have been there and been there recently, but that they just appeared to be unraveling. I mean,
well,
just...
you look at Altuve trying to take third, and Suzuki makes that throw. They want to test his arm because he's the sort of the weaker defensive arm.
Yeah, Gomes,
to Gomes
is the better arm.
And that sets the tone where he tried to come back to Altuve later in the game at first, and all of a sudden he's stepping up, not just blocking.
Yeah.
So they're in position to win the World Series. They have three games in Washington Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I do think they're going to win, and I find that fabulous. I do. It's just fabulous. We will take a break. We'll come back. We'll sort of put news together, an old guy. We cannot call out. We were going to have Chuck Todd. We were going to have Jeff Ma. We are incapable of calling out. We will either try to get them tomorrow or call them and get their picks and all of that. But this is a show on the fly, and we're going to do the best we can and mask our anger. And I'm fairly good at masking my anger, but Nigel would like to throw a brick through a wall. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Quip ad, which it tells me to feel free to ad-lib the introduction with a personalized story or start with the below introduction. I'm going to start with the below introduction. What actually makes a better toothbrush? Industrial strength, power, claims of miraculous trendy ingredients, multiple modes. If you ask your dentist, they'll tell you, it should be he or she will tell you, that it's less about the brush and more about how you use it. And that's why Quip was created by dentists and product designers to focus on what actually matters for your oral health, healthier habits. Then it says, please mention all the talking points below. So I'm going to do that. Quip sensitive vibrations with a built-in timer guide gentle brushing for the dentist recommended 2 minutes with 30-second pulses, ensuring an even clean. I have a Quip. It does that. It delivers. Quip automatically delivers brush heads to you every 3 months for clean new bristles right on schedule. Mine came last week. Sadly for me, the Bay Bridge is basically out, and my Quip is out in Delaware. The sleek, intuitive design is simple to use and comes with a travel cap that doubles as a mirror mount. If I wanted a mirror mount, I'm sure I could test the veracity of that. These thoughtful features make brushing something you actually want to do twice every day. You gotta do it. You may want to do it. God bless you. You gotta do it. Good habits matter to live a healthier life, so help form fresh oral health habits with Quip. Quip starts at just $25, and you will get your first refill free at getquip.com/TonyK. This is a simple way to start brushing better, but you have to go to getquip.com/TonyK to get your first refill free. And once again, getquip.com/TonyK.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Okay, there's probably music that just played us in. I don't know what it was. We are unable to do that sort of recording, as I said at the beginning. We are unable to identify anything that normally happens in the show. If that's put in post-production, great. If not, don't worry about it. So there is some news stuff, and I'll just take it over. It's just easy to do. Kyrie Irving made his debut in Brooklyn last night. He was absolutely terrific. He scored 50 points, and I'm so happy to say they lost at the end. And he failed at the end. He lost the ball in the last possession of overtime and missed a shot. And I hope he averages 50 and they lose 82 games. Because Minnesota won that game, and Kyrie Irving said, I just want to be happy. Really? You're never happy. You know what's going to make me happy now? Michael, play that stuff. This is the baby boy Bootsy. The baby boy
It'll
Bootsy.
Just
Why
take
don't you
one...
set it up?
So our son is a huge Nats fan, and his favorite player, well, I'll just let this speak for itself.
Who's your favorite pitcher?
Masher!
Atta boy.
And who's your favorite hitter?
Who's your favorite batter?
Soto!
So makes me happy.
We take him to the park every day, and he pantomimes home run derby as he just runs around this baseball field with ever-widening base paths, and people just stop on the road and watch this young kid. Before you continue, I just want to say our friends at Johnny O, they are celebrating that the Nats are in the World Series and have a two-game lead now. And so if you purchase any Astros gear or Nats gear, they will give you two-day free shipping. Use that promo code TKPumpkin.
That's very, very nice. In other basketball news, the 76ers opened last night. They beat Boston. A lot of people think that somehow this is a preview of the two best teams in the Eastern Conference. Joel Embiid got into a skirmish and got hit with a flagrant foul. I am personally tired of Joel Embiid already. Wilbon thinks Joel Embiid is a gift from God. Loves Joel Embiid. Your thoughts on Joel Embiid?
I wouldn't want to get in a scuffle with him.
Right, he's big.
He's a big dude.
He is. And he's a very talented player. I'm just, you know, I don't see him as the most important person in the world.
I typically don't turn attention to NBA basketball until the start of the following hockey season. But I'm surprised to hear you say people view the Celts
think they will be better without Kyrie Irving.
Okay.
Even though
Addition
they lost Al Horford. But, you know, the Eastern Conference is terrible.
Yeah, it's up for grabs. Well, yeah. I tell you who's not going to be a player in the Eastern Conference.
The Washington Wizards.
Yeah, a little bit of that was on in my house last night.
Yeah, so I will get to that right now. The Washington Wizards opened last night in Dallas. Bradley Beal, who just signed a $72 million extension for 2 years, promptly got ejected before the end of the game. And what was he saying? Yeah, that's just hoops? Just basketball? No big deal?
Yeah, he said, quoting, "It's just hoops," Beal said. It was after a little bit of a dust-up with...
Doncic.
Doncic. You see it when I got kicked out. He came over to me. He was the first one to dap me up. We weren't fighting. That was just basketball, trying to frustrate him. He was kicking our butt. I had to do something.
And
so I guess he deemed getting thrown out was the something he had to do.
$72 million for 164 games is something like $470,000 a game or something like that.
Well, I do
seems
the math
like
for you, but my
money.
Calculator is acting as your timer right
seems
now.
Seems like
so.
A lot of money. Anyway, Doncic and Porzingis combined for 57 points, and they're good. They're young, and they're good. Dallas is going to be pretty good. David Ross is going to manage the Cubs, not Joe Girardi. David Ross, this is the Aaron Boone model. This is take a guy out of the booth at ESPN and let him be the manager. There is some thought that Eduardo Perez is in line for a managerial job as well. Torrey, you've been in a lot of different organizations. This is the question that most of us have. David Ross was on the Cubs a few years ago. Used to sit in bars and drink with these players a few years ago.
I think are great qualifications.
Well, I was going to say, how does that affect somebody now having authority over these same people who were his friends? And are his friends, in fact.
Did he pay for the drinks?
I don't know who
paid for
the
drinks. Then I think he has a certain amount of authority. I think he can work. I know Davey Martinez did not hang out with these guys.
Right.
But from everything you all have said, he's a guy's guy, right? And he's got the players back. So that seems to be a popular model right now.
So David Ross, you're okay with that?
Will he bring the camels? Learned that from Davey.
Can we just say the camels didn't hurt in the long run? If you think about it, the camel tradition, I think, has helped.
Trust the process, sure.
I don't know. Yeah.
No, this is, you forget, where were they in the ninth inning before the rain delay? And who orchestrated?
They were going to lose.
Yeah, who orchestrated that with his pep talk? So I think these players have already looked to him for leadership.
He was like 50 and like a ceremonial leader at the time. I mean, I realize he's only 42 now, but he was 50 then.
He'd been around.
Yeah,
that was his first or second year there. He was not even the starting catcher, obviously.
Right.
He was a guy on the team. But now the success that Aaron Boone has had has led people, rather than go to who qualifies more in terms of experience in the minors, it's now, are you watching games? Are you in the booth? Can you sell the team? Will you listen to the general manager? Will you do it analytically?
And a catcher, as most of those guys are.
Oh, they're all catchers. Yeah. They're all catchers. Jim Harbaugh, there are a bunch of stories. Jim Harbaugh is facing Notre Dame this week. It is another team ranked in the top 10. Jim Harbaugh at Michigan, I believe, is 1-9 against teams in the top 10. He lost last week at Penn State. This is at Michigan, though. There are stories being written that Jim Harbaugh is trying to put together an exit strategy for Michigan to go somewhere else, maybe the Washington Redskins, somewhere else. Jim Harbaugh wrote a letter to the parents of all of the players on the team, and in it, he said, of this exit strategy, and I'm quoting accurately, it's total crap. Now, if you are the proud parent of a Michigan child, and your coach ends this letter by saying it's, quote, total crap, how do you feel, Torrey?
Well, one of my in-house consultants, we're going to the game this weekend.
Right.
Going up to Michigan this weekend. Right? And I think there are a lot of people in Michigan, they don't say it openly, but they wish he did have an exit strategy. Because
they'll be packing his car if he loses.
What has
it
been, 5 or 6 years? I think the car is packed, and they'll just help fill the tank before he goes.
So, anyone else on
the letter?
You have a college age student.
The letter, oddly reminiscent of like a Trump tweet, all the way down to like random quotation marks and stuff. Yeah. I pulled it up here for Torrey, but he said, "Dear parents, I'm reaching out to let you know that recent claims that I am pursuing in an quote exit strategy are total crap. It's an annual strategy driven by our enemies to cause disruption to our program and to negatively recruit. By the way, I don't even have an quote agent or representative close quote
representative."
So
representative. Anyway, I love Jim Harbaugh. Well, I do.
I love Brian Polian. So
in other
I'm going
football
Irish
news,
there.
Right? You Sorry, and I understand that. In other football news, Drew Brees is ready to play. The New Orleans Saints host the Arizona Cardinals this week. The Arizona Cardinals have won 3 games in a row, and they're a lot better with Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury than they were last year. But New Orleans should win that game without Drew Brees. And the reason I say that is because New Orleans has won 5 games in a row without Drew Brees, and they've used Teddy Bridgewater. Wilbon says you should never use him in this game because next week is a bye week. You should give him 2 more weeks to rest. My feeling is if you're Sean Payton and you have a relationship over 10 or 12 years with Drew Brees and he says, I'm ready, I say you put him in the game.
Well, I subscribe, I think, more to Wilbon's theory. I'm not so concerned with what Drew Brees thinks as I am the medical staff. Now, if they say this thing is completely healed.
They've cleared him.
And 2 more weeks is going to make no difference, then sure, he's ready to play. But if they say he's 96% and
you
in
hold
2
him
weeks
out.
He'll be 100, I hold him out, especially with the
Patrick Mahomes, whose kneecap was popped back in on national television last week. Last Thursday, right?
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes practiced yesterday with Kansas City, and Andy Reid, who earlier in the week had said it is a stretch to believe that he will play in the next game. And the next game is this Sunday night against Green Bay. This is not against Arizona. This is against a 6-1 team. This is a more meaningful game and a dicier game because Matt Moore is not Teddy Bridgewater. okay? Andy Reid has not ruled out the fact that Patrick Mahomes could start and play. Your thoughts?
I would be really surprised to see him play. I think this is sort of trying to mess with the
Of the Packers?
Yeah, trying to waste Packer preparation time. But Kansas City similarly has, and it's weird with byes, but they're 5-2. Oakland behind them at 3-3. You would think
they're going to win that division.
You would think
the Chargers
would win that
division, have collapsed,
even if they played more in this game and lost this game. So that to me, it's a little early to be that desperate. I think that's just smoke and mirrors.
All right, and then one other story that involves Tom Brady and the Adam Schefter of ESPN connecting the dots the other day. He's put his house up for sale. His trainer's put his house up for sale. At the end of the year, he's a free agent. What does that tell you? Adam Schefter, to me, was saying he could go to another team. I think that's crazy, but it does tell you it is possible. It's always possible. He's 42. It's always possible Tom Brady will retire. Your thoughts on this, Michael?
We're looking at real estate decisions here.
Yeah. Tom Brady can also buy a new house. Tom Brady and his wife, their annual income's $80 million.
You know, I have a friend who owns a house he lives in, and he owns the house next to it.
Yeah.
It's just vacant.
Yeah. People own houses. I own houses.
I think you could read that and make that conclusion if you want. I think it's easier to accept he and his family are at an age where they're based elsewhere in the country where his wife has more professional interests.
That's right.
I also think if you look at the house in question, he had issues getting into a certain country club that was neighboring the house.
He wanted to get into the country club in Brookline. He didn't get in?
I think he did eventually.
How could you not take Tom Brady?
Oh, Brady.
That's crazy. How could you not take Tom Brady?
If they won another one, I could completely see him saying, you know what?
I'm done.
Yeah, I'm done.
I'm done.
Yeah.
But he likes to play. He's not going to another team.
No.
You're not going to leave Bill Belichick? Are you crazy?
Yeah, and
he's not crazy.
And he's not leveraging to renegotiate. I mean, this is a guy who multiple times has restructured for less money to keep his team good.
No, stop. All right. We will get out of here. We will have Old Guy Radio when we return. At the end of Old Guy Radio, since I don't even know what the music is or if there will be any music, at the end of Old Guy Radio, since we don't have music for the emails and all of that, we'll do the emails and we'll get out of here. We'll do a slightly attenuated show.
We can
hum. Is that the right word to be attenuated? To shorten a little bit?
Shorter show.
Yeah, we'll do a slightly shorter show.
Altuve version.
And we will try and breathe and not have our anger consume us. Nigel, we will try our best. You don't have to go into the lotus position.
Namaste.
But we'll try our best. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Indochino ad. Nigel, get on a microphone. Indochino was founded on the belief that you don't need... This is terrible for my throat. I am coughing all the time.
There's asbestos in here, I'm pretty sure.
Indochino was founded on the belief that you don't need to spend a fortune on a custom wardrobe. And then it says, talk about how good men look when their suits fit well, and talk about your personal experience with Indochino, which Nigel has three times.
Yes, I love Indochino suits. In fact, when I'm feeling blue...
As you are now.
Yes, I go and put on a Indochino suit. So I will put all three of them on after the program today because they're fantastic suits. It's a great price. You can design them any way you want.
Tell the people how you measured yourself.
Well, they recommend you go to a tailor, but I don't have
a
tailor.
I'd love to see his tailor.
Right. So I used a yardstick and a piece of rope that I would mark on a rope and give myself fairly accurate measurements because all the suits fit me like a glove.
Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. They make suits, shirts, coats, and more, and everything is made, as Nigel suggests, to your exact measurement for a great fit. You get to personalize all the details, your lapel, your lining, your monogram. They have hundreds of suit options for all occasions, including work, formal events, and even your own wedding. The process is simple. You choose your fabric, pick your customization, submit your measurements. The suit will be delivered straight to your door in 2 weeks. You can get measured and design your suit at your nearest Indochino showroom. And they're in the Washington, D.C. area. They have one in Bethesda and they have one in Tyson's Corner. Or you can do it all yourself online. Get somebody to help you at home at Indochino.com. They will help you do it at Indochino.com. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when you enter Tony K at checkout. The shipping is free. It's Indochino.com, I-N-D-O-C-H-I-N-O, Indochino.com, not Indonesia.com, Indochino.com, promo code TonyK for $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more. It's an incredible deal for made-to-measure clothing, and you really have no excuse anymore to wear clothing that doesn't fit.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
If I understand this correctly... What you are going to hear for Old Guy Radio is The Times They Are Changing by Bob Dylan. It is one of the most influential and famous songs in the history of popular music. It's, you know, everybody has quoted the lyrics for 50 years now, and we played it, Nigel, for what particular reason? Because I'm not here. We're not hearing it. Because we're not hearing it because we're in the studio the size of your front seat, if you have a Corolla.
we're playing this because on this date in 1963.
So that's 56
years.
Yes,
he recorded it.
Yeah,
and the original working title was The Mimes They Are Changing.
Is that right? Well, everybody knows mime is money.
No, he did say it. That's right, Bobby Flackman.
Yeah, hostess with the mostest.
He said, this was definitely a song with purpose. It was the influence, of course, by the Irish and Scottish ballads, Come All Ye Bold Highwaymen, Come All Ye Tender-Hearted Maidens. I wanted to write a big song with short, concise verses that piled up on each other in a hypnotic way.
I'm sure it is the most liberally quoted song among politicians in the history of the world, or anybody running for office, or anybody who wants to give a graduation speech.
Tori and I have a recommendation, a request, if you will, for tomorrow's Old Guy Radio, although it's a little new to be Old Guy, but in honor of today's events, we thought maybe Tom Petty's Refugee.
That would be fine because, yeah.
Yeah, 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 so we have to live like a refugee.
That's exactly
what we've been
doing. And I'll go to the Safeway from here so that I'll feel even better. Jeff Ma, we contacted Jeff Ma and Chuck Todd. It's the same way. We're going to ask them to pick the game tonight, the Washington Redskins. That's a Thursday night game. The Washington Redskins are at Minnesota. I thought the line was 16, but Jeff Ma told us it was 16.5, and he will still take Minnesota.
No, take Washington.
Oh, he'll take Washington. Yeah. Jeff Ma will take Washington.
Yes.
Do we have thoughts about that game tonight? We can watch the game because there's no World Series game.
Right.
Yeah, thank goodness. I
assume Kirk Cousins is going to be good.
So I
he's been good 3 weeks in a row.
Although
Thielen's out.
Self-outed former Redskin fan who has disavowed. I will watch this game. I have not watched the last couple of Redskins games. They've just had no interest to me, so I've watched the Red Zone instead. And I think I'm going to have to see how I feel, but I think going into it, I think I'm probably going to find myself pulling for Kirk Cousins tonight.
Really?
Yeah. So it's weird. I've come all the way on this.
Tori?
I just want to say I've never felt so close to Gary. I've known him for years, but I've never felt so close. I will be watching because we're going to drive halfway to Michigan tonight, so we'll be somewhere we can watch. And I will be rooting completely for Kirk Cousins. I always liked him. I thought he was mistreated in this
town. He was mistreated.
And I hope
didn't think he was as good as people said he was, but he was mistreated.
Right, mistreated. And he seems like a nice guy, so I hope he destroys the Redskins.
Michael?
I mean, this is just great drama. Back-to-back weeks, you have these revenge storylines.
Kyle Shanahan last week.
Feels very much like the NBA. I will watch 0 minutes of this. I expect he'll put up great numbers. I'm going back into Succession.
Okay, because you're in Succession.
I've had late nights, and I want to... It's not like I have something that's less stressful to look forward to in Succession, because the show just makes you feel uncomfortable at every turn.
Every single episode.
But I don't have to worry about the bullpen.
Every single episode.
Allow me to point out, while I would concur that Kirk Cousins was mistreated by management in D.C., he was mistreated to the tune of $50 million.
Right, he played the game well.
But he was treated poorly.
Been mistreated. When will I be loved? Let me get to a story that happened to me yesterday. On Wednesdays, I go to physical therapy. And it is downtown. It is on the corner of 25th and M. It is very difficult to park around there. But if you find a space on the street, of course you take a space on the street. There are parking things that happen now that are beyond me.
Apps.
I don't know how to do it. Most of the parking meters on the street where I was, 25th Street, most of the parking meters are somehow shut down. Some are available. You put a credit card in. I don't know how to do it. All right, I don't know how to do the app, and you can do it the straight way of putting in a credit card. I didn't do it because the guy who got out of the space when I got in, there was some time left on the meter, but I didn't know how long. In any case, I was in physical therapy for about 50 minutes, and I came back out yesterday, and I saw not one, not two, but three tickets on my car.
Whoa.
Three tickets on my car. The one ticket on my car that I would say I cannot dispute on any level is a $30 ticket for a two-hour meter. You know, I didn't put any money in. I didn't do it. So I'm going to pay the $30, which is angering to me because I was so angry the other week that I had to pay $22
in a
garage.
Pretty good now.
Now that $22 looks like a bargain. So I'll be going to the garage next week for physical therapy. I got another ticket.
Let me just point out, time on the first ticket, 11:46 a.m.
Then I got a ticket 11:50 and 11:51.
Wow, that's okay. Aggressive. Four. Okay.
Same officer.
Same officer. Oh. J.R. Thomas, badge 00212.
Come on,
J.R. Well, he doesn't know it's me. All right, he's doing his job. I'm not angry at him or her. I don't know if it's him or her. I'm not angry. I deserve these tickets. The next one was for $50, failure to display an inspection sticker. Ooh. And the one after that was for $100, no window sticker affixed. This would be in the District of Columbia. The one on the left-hand side is your registration sticker. They were not affixed. It's a new car.
They were a broken?
I guess that's funny. No. both stickers, which I had in my possession, were in my glove compartment. I didn't put them on. Put them on last night. Now, this is $180 worth of tickets. I am fortunate in that that will not break me. I am not asking you to do a GoFundMe. No, I've got it. It's covered. But I looked on the back. And I looked on the options. And the options are, of course, if you're guilty and you want to send in the money, you can send in the money. If you deny the ticket, you do not send in the payment of the fine or the penalty, and you get a hearing. I don't necessarily want a hearing. There is a third one, which is admit with explanation. Do not send payment of fine or penalty. You may also admit liability and provide an explanation for the offense, either online, by mail, or at a walk-in hearing. A hearing examiner will review your explanation and consider reducing your late penalty for fines that have doubled. I had them in my car. My registration came through about a week ago on a new car. It had been, you know, I had the temporary tags. I got the car in Virginia at BMW of Fairfax from Mike Walker, Jackie's brother. I think I've talked about this before. I liked the car fine. I was able to take off the temporary tags and put on the permanent license plates. I did not put on the stickers. I had the stickers in my glove compartment. I put them on last night. I could just send in the money, or I could take a shot at, Tori, I could take a shot at guilty without explanation. I would write in my own handwriting, I would write a note saying exactly what I'm saying now, that I understand that I am in technical violation of the law, but I had them in my glove compartment. It was very recent that I got them, and I just didn't put them on and give them the registration of the car, and they'll be able to check that, in fact, the car is duly registered and licensed to me. What would you do?
Hate to say it, but especially since you've now revealed all this information on the podcast,
yes.
I think it was more than technical violation of the law.
No, I'm in violation.
It was actual violation of
yes.
the law.
Well,
Pay
the tickets.
Yeah.
Gary?
So I think I agree with Tori. I mean, if it's as simple as writing something down and sending it in, you never know. But presumably, this is going to require you to attend something.
Well, don't
and
want
talk
to. Well, I don't even
like
want
the,
to attend
value,
weddings, so I'm not going to. Attend
right,
this.
The value of your time.
I'm not
is
going
such,
to L'Enfant Plaza. For this,
I think if you write this check and send it this morning at 11, at 11:03 a.m., it's behind you and you've forgotten about it, and you can just.
I'm not
of,
forgetting
you know,
about it. It was my fault. Now, I turn to Michael now because some of this may be his inheritance.
But let me just say,
$180.
I would point out, I have just two words for you. Felicity Huffman. All right?
I don't
so there,
go to
for
jail.
The grace of God, go you.
Well, I don't think this is a jailable offense.
I don't think you would look good in jumpsuits.
No, I would not look good in a jumpsuit. Lori Loughlin, if she gets off, you'll take that back. Michael?
Pay the fines online.
I can't pay the fine online.
Out of
so
Elizabeth's
normally,
inheritance.
So normally, yeah.
No, I'm going to write checks and send them checks. I'm not paying the fine online.
Why not?
Well, can I don't know how to do that.
Let me borrow your credit
I
card.
Can't I can't even make. I can't even. Get,
we
make
can have
a,
this taken care of during
meter
mailbag.
Work.
Huh? All right. So the going back to the real issue here is, can we just put Park Mobile on your phone? Because forget the.
I don't even know what that is.
If you didn't. if you were able to pay the parking,
happy to do so.
Right, if you're able
it's
to pay the parking meter, they're never even going to check your stickers because they're just going to see that
that's
meter
right.
has been paid.
Right.
The issue, you're,
well,
you
my
never,
stickers are good now.
You forgot this because no one checks your street because you don't have zoned parking, and for work you park in garages, so no one's
yes.
checking
yes.
those stickers.
Right.
Pay the tickets because another thing that could happen if you do this hearing thing is the time delay. You know, maybe the paperwork wouldn't catch up, and then they're going to start sending you...
No, but they said a hearing examiner will review your explanation and consider reducing your late penalty for fines that have doubled.
Consider.
Yeah, if they get it in time, but with the mail, who knows? And then you could get one of those notifications that your tickets have doubled because you didn't pay them. So we could be up to 360 in a heartbeat. Pay the tickets. Michael, you have to pay for the beers tomorrow night.
All right. All right. So now we're just going to do emails, right? Emails, and that's fine. Andrew McEwen from Wyoming, Ontario. No, Wyoming, Ontario. I didn't know there was a Wyoming, Ontario. Two highlights for me when watching the Nats romp in Game 2. One, if Tony was awake to see Fernando Rodney, 42, take the mound, he would surely lose what little hair he had left. Two, the only Astros fan who enjoyed the game was a small blonde-haired child running up and down the steps
yes.
behind home plate in the top of the eighth.
Yes.
Can you tell Michael to ask where Brooks Like is? Maybe he can come out to the bullpen for the Nats.
Oh, Brooksy.
Yeah.
So McManus pointed out in the thread that little kid, that little curly-haired kid, wearing like an old-school Astros jersey, just running up and down the stairs, up and down the stairs. It was hysterical.
Must have had the Dippin' Dots.
Greg Nolden in East Stroudsburg University. In Game 2, it was 2-2 in the second half of the second with two outs and a 2-2 count. In the at-bat that Strasburg struck out Chirinos, I couldn't have been more excited and my friends less impressed. From Brandon Borzelli in Lebanon, New Jersey. Maybe the dog left the frisbee with the rabbit because she would rather have a dead rabbit throw the frisbee than a 71-year-old man with sciatica. She left three frisbees. She gathered all the frisbees
Tribute.
And left them literally at the head of the dead rabbit. From Chad Supp in Urbana, Illinois. I recently had a consultation with a surgeon to discuss the inguinal hernia. Is that how that's pronounced? Inguinal hernia, I've been ignoring for far too long. As a 49-year-old man who has measured his height since the age of 14 to be 6 feet, imagine my surprise when the nurse announced I was now measuring 5'11". I'm down to 5'10 and a half. Yeah, I'm shrinking.
You're following Ira's path.
Following Ira. Well, but Ira at the end, you could put him in the glove compartment. Because he was only 5'7 to begin with.
He was just always chasing the spices.
I mean, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, one nutmeg. Always... running down a good
and
nutmeg.
Saving the meat packaging.
Landon in Knightdale, North Carolina. I'm not sure what's best for the show, the crew's pessimism over how the Nats can still blow this, or the bubbly giddiness forcing its way out in between rants about office furniture and tiny parking spaces. Smile, old man. It's really happening. Yeah, I think they're going to win. From Steve the Sycophant, as I was driving through D.C. yesterday, I suddenly realized I was out of Coffee Mate. I knew I had to get some immediately, since even though I don't drink coffee, I added to my Diet Cokes for an extra kick. I pulled into a loading zone, and I saw I was close to a radio station. What better place to pick up some Coffee Mate? When I walked in there, about 50-plus packets just sitting on a counter, no one using them. I filled my pockets and walked out just as some orange-colored elderly man wandered in. I would have said hello, but he was muttering something about missing Frisbees. He was covered with dirt and smelled like a dog, which was weird enough to make me keep my distance. I felt slightly guilty about taking the Coffee Mate, but realized the radio station, no doubt, had hundreds of packets in reserve. My conscience assuaged, I headed back to Herndon. So this morning when I got here, and I got here, and by here I mean the other bad studio, not this tiny little mole hut. when I got here, Nigel wasn't here, so I made myself some coffee, and there were I couldn't find the Coffee Mate in that studio, which I assume was stolen, but you hid it.
He had hidden
what
it.
What good is it if you hide it from me? What good is that?
I will say the flaw in Steve's story there is, as Tori can attest, it's,
can't get in.
It's tougher to get into Fort. It's tougher to get in here than Fort Knox.
Yeah,
I mean it's insane.
From Mike
trying to get
Peebler
in
Valley Valley Village, California. On yesterday's show, you took a moment to expound upon the inherent absurdity of receiving a residual check for 1 cent. As a longtime little and veteran actor of film and television, I have received many such checks. Always cashing them on principle. Oh, I'm going to cash it. Absolutely. Recently, however, I received the most absurd check yet. Attached, you will see a picture of a residual check for, that's right, zero. 0.00. Imagine the expense going to process, print, and mail this check with no monetary value. My real desire, yes, is to stand online at a bank and try to cash it, just have the teller tell me and hand me air. Perhaps I could sign it over to you to help pay off some debts from Shatter, which is very nice. From John Birdie in Dallas, Pennsylvania. So we've had a Wyoming, Ontario, and a Dallas, Pennsylvania. Watching the Japan skins here, I heard Tiger call Jason Day Daisy. Oh, that's nice. And Sansy and Daisy. From Colin in Utah, with a shout out to his brothers who are also littles, Caleb and Wes. Last night I was watching game one, but that's two nights ago, with my six-year-old daughter. We've been watching every Nats game and cheering like they were our own. Last night she turned to me and said, "Is this real life?" I didn't know what she meant, but when I said yes, she replied, "Oh, I thought it was just a TV show." I think if you say, if somebody says, "Is this real life?" you say, "Or is this just fantasy?" Caught in a crossfire. She must have the World Series confused with the college football playoff. Isn't that just a television show? Uncle Tony affecting the next generation. She went to bed with the Nats leading and told me to tell her who won when she wakes up. Glad do made it so her day can start off right.
Tony, Joe, Dallas, PA, just northwest of Wilkes-Barre.
Is that right?
Yeah. Home of Misericordia, it looks like.
Misericordia is a college. Yep. Attended by the wife of Norby Williamson. Suzanne went there and played basketball there. Well, yeah, but I'm on 81. I've never seen a sign for it. 81 goes right through Wilkes-Barre. I've never seen a sign.
North, you'd have to get off on 329 headed north.
Okay. From Joel Westbrook in Madison, Virginia. Don't get cocky. In 1996, we, and by we, I mean the Atlanta Braves, left Yankee Stadium up 2-0. There was dancing in the street, Peachtree Street. Then we lost four straight. Are you sure the Nats bullpen won't blow up four straight? That's what Smoltz was alluding to last night. From Michael Schmidt, Mr. Tony, I've included an image, an imagine?
I'm guessing image.
Of Chessie's rabbit from the other morning. I believe Chessie placed the Frisbees on the dead rabbit's eyes so Dan Snyder will ferry the rabbit's soul across the Potomac. This is actually funny. It's image, okay. All right, from John in Herndon, Virginia. If you're reading this email, that means you didn't see Dave Martinez on MLB Tonight before the game last night. They asked about him using his bullpen going forward. Martinez mentioned all your favorites, including Rodney, Rainey, and the Wanderer. Also, he mentioned a guy who used to have a painting show on PBS by the name of Ross. Martinez said he could get righties out. Not going there. Matt Schild in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Bonjour. Does Major League Baseball commission a mural artist who would be willing to spare a press pass for Mr. Tony? I'm not getting one. I can't get one. It's unbelievable. From Karen Kaminsky in Bayside, Wisconsin. I was touched by your homage to the deceased rabbit. The description of the departed, surrounded by Frisbee offerings to its spirit, spoke to my soul. Perhaps you can help wordsmith an obituary for the gray squirrel my beagle held in her jaws last week. As we pursued her, she merrily ran around the yard, sucking that rodent in like a spaghetti noodle. My memory of the dog with a gray, bushy tail flopping from her lips won't soon be forgotten. Everything came out all right, but I will never know the answer to the eternal culinary question, did it taste like chicken? And from Jamie Ashworth, who writes Go Duke at the end. I can't believe I am writing a bald orange man, or more importantly, my wife cannot believe, asking for fashion advice. We recently purchased tickets to Greg Garcia's Escape from Margaritaville, and I was wondering what the typical get-up at the show was. Having seen the show twice, hopefully you can help. Are showgoers dressed in the typical Broadway Indochino suit attire, or are they dressed in the more casual parrot head garb? Thanks for the advice, and thanks for all the years of greatness. Go Duke. Yes, parrot head. I mean, a lot of people do that. It's casual. You don't wear a tie and a shirt. You don't know. Absolutely not. If you feel comfortable wearing a sport jacket, that's fine. But you're going to see many, many casual people there. I'm going to read them all today. I'm just going to read them all. From Kevin Disher in Bay City, Michigan. After the first inning home run by Bregman last night, my nerves made me turn the channel. I clicked over to Turner Classic Movies for an escape. Duck Soup was on. That sounded familiar for some reason. 30 seconds into it, I watched Groucho Marx walk onto a screen announced as Mr. Rufus T. Firefly. Wait, I thought. He works with Jeff Ma and Beat the Process. It felt like a David Aldridge moment until I remembered it's really Mr. Rufus Peabody. Hashtag sad. From Matt Rousey in Lawrenceville, New Jersey, where Bob Ryan's father, I believe, was the athletic director. Yesterday, you remarked how you were counting Scherzer's pitches as the game went on. Finally, you found a practical use to your hobby of counting alone and can apply it to sports. If you're lucky in a game three, Patrick Corbin will announce good license plate numbers he saw before each pitch. Patrick Corbin, again, Anibal Sanchez apparently going. From Mark Murray in Wappingers Falls in New York, upstate New York. The baseball day off means little. All of us means all of us are going to need something to watch tonight because I'm a sucker for trying to outdo Rick Devens as the little with the most reality TV appearances. I managed to get myself cast into a show called It's Alive with Neil Patrick Harris, in which they film a few groups of people going through an insanely scary haunted house they built just for this event. The house is created by the guy who wrote the Saw movies. It's on Facebook Live at 9 p.m. on Harris's or Reese's, the sponsor's homepage. If anyone is bored, tune in if you want. Should be funny unless I pee in my pants or cry hysterically. And Gary, let your kids know I can't lose this one because it's not a competition. Hashtag winning. We should watch that. And from Carl, who signs at Carl 47 in Oswego, New York. Thank you in advance for recapping game two. When it's 10 p.m., I have a meeting in 9 hours and I hear Joe Buck say we're halfway through. Then I'm out. Time for bed. I just assume that Thursday TK show will tell me all I need to know. I hope so. And if you're out on your bike time, everyone, as always, do wear white.
You know what? Get me out of here.